I want you to turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Micah, chapter 6. Micah, chapter 6. One of the minor prophets, not minor in importance, but minor because of size, but just as inspired, just as powerful as Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, or any of the major prophets. Fact is, he gives a prophecy in this of the birth of the Lord Jesus. Before I get you to stand, just look back at chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of these he shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. That's where Herod found where that Jesus would be born. He had men that knew the Bible, Old Testament, to find that. And there's a lot of truth, all of its truth found here, a lot of prophecy. But there's a practical thing said to us in verse number 8 of chapter 6. I'm real interested in tonight. I have a desire in my heart to know, what does God require of me? What does God require of you? Let's look at it together. Let's stand, please, while we read Micah chapter 6, verse number 8. He have showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Simple, to the point, three things are said in that verse. And said, what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and walk humbly with thy God? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you'd help us now. Lord, thank you for all the singing, and surely it's blessed our hearts. They've been a precious presence here tonight of the reality of a saving Savior. I thank you, Lord, for manifesting yourself. I thank you for the goodness, and Lord, that we can testify of the saving grace of God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for thy word. Precious it is. And I pray tonight that you'd help us now for a few moments to share from this word what you require and what you expect out of us. And help us, Lord, to apply that to our lives, that you may encourage, strengthen, and help us, challenge us, and convict us. And I pray tonight, Lord, your will be accomplished and bring glory to you. And Father, you know my heart tonight. I cry to you for help. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would take the word of God and speak to all of us and help us and draw us nigh to yourself. Thank you and praise you in what you do. I plead the blood of Jesus, claim that victory in him. Lord, you said greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And so tonight the victory in Jesus Christ, our Savior, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I just titled it, what does the Lord require? What does the Lord require of thee? I don't know exactly how I'll get said what I want to say. Don't know that I'll get said what I want to say. But with God's help, I will say what God wants me to say. And I believe that's what is important, that we say what God wants us to say and make an application to our lives and help us along the way. If we come to church and we sing the songs and we hear teaching in Sunday school or a class somewhere, we hear preaching, we have special singing, we do these things, but when we go out the doors, and even while we're in the church, what does God require of us? What is he expecting out of us? And really, if you think about it, he kind of sums up the Old Testament in that one verse of Scripture. He's kind of putting it all together and gives it to us at one time there, and I pray tonight God would help me and strengthen me to say what needs to be said here. I've thought about this, meditated on it, and as far as getting it all together just like I wanted to, I can't say that I did that, but I know that God wants me to preach this tonight, so you pray for me that God will help me. And here he makes that statement. He have showed me thee, O man, what is good. Now God showed us what is good. We know God's good. We sing about his goodness. We talk about God being good. We talk about him being good all the time. And so he's saying, now, talking about that good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? Now, God does his part always. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And they sing the song sometimes in the choir, why should we doubt him now? He's done so much for us up to this point. Why should we doubt what he's going to do now? I want to restate that. Why should we doubt him now? He's been so good to us. He has done things among us in our lives, in our church, and in people's lives that I say hallelujah and praise his name. Why should we doubt him now? He's good, and he's good all the time. But what does the Lord require of us? And so we're going to give you three things tonight found right here in the Word of God, so we don't have to go far to see it. But here it is, and I pray that God would help us. He said here, he requires thee to do justly. Do justly. And that word justly means to deal fairly. Be honest and be upright and treat mankind right. Be honest in all things, in our work, in our school, in business world, in giving to the church, in our lives day by day. God requires us, he said, that you do justly. And so tonight I pray that we will do justly in all things that God has required of us. And we know we understand quickly about being honest, about paying bills, about not cheating anybody and not lying, not stealing. And quickly we identify with that. That do justly goes beyond that. Now I realize that we're justified in Christ. And we're not justified by being what we can do or how we live. I'm not talking about that. But because we are saved and are God's people, he does require something of us about doing justly. And we should be honest in all these things I mentioned. We ought to not cheat anybody. Well, as much as possible. When I said as much as possible, I thought about this. I sometimes will tell somebody, I'll call you in the morning. Or I'll call you a certain time and I forget it. If I don't write it down, have it right in front of me, and sometimes I write it down and forget to look at where I wrote it down at. And so if I ever tell you something like that, please forgive me. I did not do that deliberately. That was an honest mistake. And so please bear with me. You've done the same thing. You meant to do something and you told somebody you would, but somehow got sidetracked and mind got on something else and forgot it and missed it. And God understands that. He knows our hearts. But as much as is within us, by his help, we are to do what we say we're going to do. And we are to live right and do those things. When we say live right, I think about Brother Ronnie Gilbert. He so often says, and he says it right, we can't do right. We fail God every way that we go. And we mess up. And it does me good as a preacher. It does you good as a Sunday school teacher. It does all of us ever tries to do help anybody else to admit the fact that we mess up sometimes. If you say, preacher, I never fail God, you lie about that, you probably lie about something else too. Amen. And you do fail God. I fail God. We all fail God and come short of his glory. But what within us, by the grace of God, we ought to have an endeavor to do what's right and please him. This word justly also carries a meaning with it. Exactly or precisely. Exactly or precisely. We are to obey the commands of God as much as is possible within us with his help and by that strength that he's birthed into us to live like he says for us to live. If I say, and this is justly, exactly, precisely, if we talked about a just weight, what do we mean? We mean that a pound really weighs a pound. If we're in a business world, it means it's exactly, it's right on, it's precise. That's what this word justly means. And we ought to endeavor. God said, I require of thee that thou do justly. And that's what we ought to try to do. Do justly, precisely, exactly. Commands of God and do what God says and obey God. And I'm not saved by doing. Again, I want to restate that. I want everybody to understand tonight. I'm not preaching about being saved. Now, I do want you to get saved if you're not saved. I'll say something about that, I'm sure, before I quit preaching. I can't preach without that. And somewhere in there here to come in. You got to get saved, amen, that go to heaven. I preached this morning about how to get to heaven, and you got to get born again, amen. And I believe that with all my heart, but I want you to know, as saved people, that today somehow our world has got this concept that you get saved and it doesn't supposed to affect your life any. And no, you just go on and live your life. And I believe if you're really saved, really where you ought to be with God and doing justly, you'll love to come to church. Amen. You'll love the Word of God. You'll love singing. You'll love to see somebody else get saved. I mean, it'll thrill your heart to see somebody stand and testify for the glory of God. It'll help you, amen, when somebody does that. That's part of it. And so we're in living justly. We're endeavoring to do that. That pleases God. And I'm going to say something tonight I hope will help all of us. But I pray for these young people. And that choir up here tonight, boy, they stirred my heart. I saw young folk raise their hand. I saw some might not have raised their hand, but they had on their face that joy of the Lord. And I said, hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, for every one of them. I love them, appreciate them. And I was sitting in prayer room, and a little old girl come in there, and she had her shoe off and sat down there beside, pulled her up, sat down, put her shoe on. And how precious these little children are. And they're just loving and kind. And I love them, and the church, we want to do everything we can to help them, encourage them along the way. They go away to meetings, they get God on them, and Christian got saved, and others have gotten saved in different places, and things have happened in their lives, and they want to do right and do good, and they're endeavoring to serve the Lord, and I pray that we as a church will help them, encourage him every way that we possibly can. But let me say to you tonight, the church does not take the place of mom and dad. Amen. If mom and dad don't love God and they don't really live for God and they don't really have it in their homes and have a testimony of the saving grace of God and don't really encourage the young people to live for God. How can you encourage the young people to do things for God and you don't do anything for God? I can expect them to pray if you don't pray. I expect them to read their Bible if you don't read your Bible. How do you expect them to try to witness if you don't try to tell somebody about Jesus? And amen, preacher, that's good. And we need it in our homes. We need to understand the fact that if the children are going to do justly, it's going to be parents teaching them how to do. Amen and amen. Good preaching, preacher. Preach on. And so I'm trying to help you tonight. Mom and dad, it's your responsibility, my responsibility, to set the right example, to try to help them, encourage them, and strengthen them. Church, we try to have a youth program. We try to have a children program. But that's not going to get the job done. It'll never fulfill what really needs to happen in hearts and life. It'll take mom and a dad loving God. Now, I know some don't have a mom and a dad as such. And we have to love them up and be a mom and a dad to them and try to help them and encourage them. Amen. Y'all still with me? Amen. That we need to do justly and see that in all of our lives and how much we need to see this in everybody's life, every individual's life. Everybody comes to church. And Brother Ronnie talking about this morning about the church coming together and we encourage one another and hang around after church and talk and fellowship. I tell you what, I'm just about afraid to leave because I'm afraid something will happen and I'll miss it. Amen. I've seen people get saved after a lot of people got gone. I've seen people get right with God. I've had somebody testify of the saving grace of God, or somebody have something special to say, or some child run up to you and give you a big hug and you can't get over it. Amen. I say glory to God. Let's just live justly. Amen. That's what he expects out of us. Do justly. And that word do is do. Amen. And I know he did for us at Calvary what we could not do for ourselves. I know he paid the price in full. I'm going to heaven only because of him. But he wants me, he said in his word, to do justly and to live godly. And the fact is, over there in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, he's talking about this grace of God appeared to all men, teaching us to deny, verse 12, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live godly, soberly, in this present world. I say hallelujah. I believe that's how God wants to live now, don't you? I don't believe he wants to see how much sin we can get by with and how ungodly we can be and how much like a world we can be without getting plumb out. He wants to see how close we can get to God and how much God we can have and how much God's power we can have in our lives and how much we can go ahead and do justly. Well, I got to get off of that. We'll be here all night. I could preach a message on each one of these. But do justly, do right, exactly, precisely, as much as is within you by the grace and the help of God. And we realize Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. And so I'm not preaching something we ought to do without him. He has to help us. He has to strengthen us. He has to give us that we need. He gives us leadership. He gives us the word of God. The spirit of God works on the inside and he helps us. And you couldn't overcome the flesh if you didn't have somebody inside helping you overcome. You'd succumb to every temptation came by if it wasn't for the grace of God and the power of God that lives in you. Every time the devil tempted you, you'd fail. And I'm glad, though, thank God, there is a way of escape for every temptation, God's saying. Amen, that's what he's saying. For every temptation, there is a way of escape. I believe God meant what he said what he meant. I don't always look for that way. I don't always do that. But it's there. God said it was. Amen. And so tonight, our lives ought to be challenged to do justly in this world that we live in now. Let me say, number two, what does God require of thee? And number two, he said, not only to do justly, but to love mercy. To love mercy. And I pray that God would help us to love mercy. And I'm going to park out for a few minutes and say a few words. But let me back up just a minute. I want to say something about, we was talking about parents a while ago. And we was talking about the church and doing justly. Let me say this to you tonight. We ought to be more concerned about our children living godly and having respect for authority than we are the big sports heroes. Than that there are some celebrity somewhere. Or that they got some kind of a this and that and the other in the world. I'd rather know that my children, grandchildren, and I'd rather know they love God, live godly, love Jesus than have anything else in the world. I don't care what else it is that they try to do and accomplish. They'll never accomplish anything anywhere compared to living godly in this present world. Oh, to live godly in this present world. I had to back up and get that because if we're not careful, we'll get so wrapped up in other things that we miss trying to really live godly. Other things come in, take their place, and takes us down. Is that not right? And we're living in a generation today that's so wrapped up in everything else that they got to be involved in, got to be involved in. And I got to reading the Word of God. And by the way, I got to reading the Word of God and trying to look for and trying to find. And I've always struggled with children, how to deal with children. I'm talking about how to deal with them about salvation, how to deal with them in that. And I realize that it's a simple thing of being saved, but it's a profound thing of being saved. I never want to give a child a false hope. I never want to lead them in the wrong way. I want the Holy Ghost of God to do a work in their heart. But did you know in the Bible, in the New Testament church, you don't find a whole lot said about the young folk and the children. The children, it talks about a boy that had his lunch and Jesus took that and fed some thousands of people with it. And I believe young people have a part in that, amen. And then a young girl about 12 years of age, he raised from the dead. And there's a few mentions of children along the way, but he doesn't say a whole lot about that. He doesn't say a whole lot about teenagers as such. And it doesn't say a whole lot about different classes of people. What I'm trying to say to you is the Bible is for all people at all times. And it doesn't matter just how old or how young you are. The same principle applies in their lives. Hey, man, y'all still with me on this? Same principle still applies in all of our lives. I'll tell you what young folk need. They need a good dose of old-time salvation. saved by the grace of God, learn to love God, live for Jesus, have God on them, want to do right, want to live justly in this world, and they need to be in church faithfully. And I tell you what moms and dads need, a good dose of old time salvation, love God, live godly, and be faithful in the house of God. Be faithful to the word of God. That's what everybody here needs, every person. I don't care how old or how young you are, you need to hear preaching, amen. And you need the same thing. And so do justly, do right. Do right, then love mercy. And that word mercy is a word that we have tried to define and have defined like this. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. And grace is when you get what you do not deserve. Mercy keeps me out of hell, and grace takes me to heaven. But mercy, we need to be merciful one to another and have mercy. Did you know that as we deal with our individual selves and deal with others in church, outside of church, in families, whatever it is, the Bible teaches us that we are to be merciful. Fact is, Jesus said in Matthew 5:7, and said unto the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. And I believe that we need to be merciful. And what's mercy mean? It means we don't get what we do deserve. If you're being merciful to somebody, they may deserve something from you that's not good. And you may have something that's hard against them, but what the Bible says is you to have mercy upon them. And amen, pray for them and do good to them. Jesus said, our enemies, we ought not try to do bad to our enemies and wish them bad. Jesus said, pray for your enemies and do good to them that persecute you. Amen. And that's what we need to do. You say, preacher, that's not easy. I know. I have a hard time with it myself. Amen. You do too. And we talked about in Sunday school about being compassionate. This word has to do with compassion and being compassionate and being merciful and trying to show mercy. Have you ever had somebody really hurt you and then you had to examine yourself? I've been to the place, and I won't go into any detail tonight. I've done that before here, and some of you know the story, some don't. But anyway, I was pastoring a certain church and a certain place and didn't stay long because they didn't, it was because of sickness. They got sick and tired of me, amen. not really. Well, I guess it did, but that wasn't the real reason that brought it on. Real reason was some other things, but I won't go into that. But people were getting saved. Things was happening. Glory to God was coming. People got to shouting, praising God. And they just wasn't used to that. And that's a long story. But anyway, they voted me out. And I'd never been voted out of a church. I'd never been asked to leave any place. And I absolutely tore me out of the frame. But what really hurt me, I'd go to the house and my wife would be crying. And I'd watch her cry. My heart would break because I knew her heart was breaking. Then I got to thinking about, what in the world am I going to do? This church asked me to leave. And when they asked me to leave, I said, what's the charge? They said, we don't have any. You don't have a charge? No, we don't have a charge. We just want you to go. Well, pretty good, I guess. But I thought if you're going to vote somebody out, you ought to have a charge against them. Bring something up. They didn't bring anything up. And said, you preach the word of God, and we don't have anything against you preaching. We don't have anything against all that. You live right. We don't have anything against that. We can't accuse you of adultery, anything like that. We just want you to go. Brother Clay, you're a young preacher, son. One of these days you may run into that. Remember the story. And man, I got tore up. I mean, those folk, they aggravated me. I don't know what you'd have felt about it, but I'd look at some of them and thought, you sorry rascals. Do me that way? But I tell you what I did. I sat down one day weeping and read the book of Job. When I got to the end of it, it said when Job prayed for his friends, God restored him. I thought to myself, now they had criticized him, had they not? His friends had come and wrongly accused him. They had wrongly done to him. But you know what Job did? He prayed for him and said when he did, God helped him. And he had more in the end than he had in the beginning. And I got to thinking on that, and God did a work in my heart and tore me up and said, you sorry thing. You didn't deserve the pastor to start with. You don't deserve anything. Everything you got's the grace of God. Even getting saved. And so I got to praying for them and saying, Lord, I want you to help them. They didn't understand what they were doing. I'm sure they probably thought they were doing the right thing at the time for the way the church had been, where they'd been, the leadership they had. And I come in, and I thought I was pastor, and a certain woman thought she was, and that's the way it went. But anyhow, when we got through all that, and I got to praying for her, and by the way, since that time, I've been to see her when she was sick, and she asked me to pray for her. Some of them have called me. You know what happened was I got to praying for them, asking God to help them, God to bless them, God to do something to do for them that I couldn't do. I couldn't, and I knew how I felt in my heart. And I said, God, you know how I feel in my heart and what's going on inside of me. But if you would just help me pray for them. And the more I prayed, Brother Jimmy, the better it got. I got to the place finally where I could pray for them and where I could really ask God to help them. And God blessed and God did wonders in my heart and my life. Fact is, I went through another church, but I helped the people get started on the story. But after I got through that, I just never could get settled in like I ought to. Something burning inside, and I wasn't sure what God was going to do with me. And I preaching a lot of revivals, and I was doing a lot of things, but I didn't know what to do. But I just resigned, and I was up in West Virginia. I'm not in West Virginia. I was in where was I? West Jefferson, North Carolina, and I was preaching for a fellow up there, and they got on the. He asked me what I was going to do. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I know God called me to preach, and I'm preaching some meetings now. I'm filling in for a fellow today, but Shirley's the cause of it. She's sitting right there. And she was sitting with the preacher in a booth over there when we went to eat lunch. The people took me out, and we got to talking, and he asked me about what I was going to do, and she said, I know where there's a church. I know where they're looking for a pastor. And I said, well, I don't know. Whatever God says, I was gun shy, and I wasn't sure what I wanted. I didn't know if I wanted pastor or not. I thought I'd just preach. Amen, leave me alone. But God got in it, and Frank Deal, I had a message from Frank Deal when I got back to the motel room that night to call him. And I called him, and went from there. Here I am, 24 and a half years later. Here I stand, soon be 25. And I say, hallelujah. You know what? God took me through that. God took me through that time. You know what it did for me? It made me a better preacher. It made me pray more. It got me closer to God. It made me trust God more. It got me to the place where God could use me better. I say hallelujah. I look back on it now and laugh about it and can kid about it and shout hallelujah about it. But at the time I was going through it, it wasn't shouting ground. It wasn't laughing ground. It was heartache and sorrow and disappointment, and it hurt bad. But oh, listen, when I did what God said, Job did, and just followed God's plan, let God do what he wanted to do with me. There's some joy got back down inside. And hallelujah for joy. Amen. Praise God. Hey, by the way, you know how you get joy? You spell joy, J-O-Y. J stands for Jesus first, O for others second, U, Y. How'd I get you out of that? What am I spelling? Joy. I was about to spell you. Hey. If I didn't mess up, y'all never would smile right. But let's get to that why. You last. Amen. Jesus first, others second, you last. J-O-Y. I know how to spell joy. I think I got it. Amen. There goes Tim again. Somebody click his clock off. Amen. Brother Tim, how blessed you are to be around. Because when one of these days I'm gone, you're going to have stuff to tell. Nobody else will have to tell. Hey, but tonight, I'm trying to, this is real important. We've got the laughing about it, but it's real important. Be merciful. Be merciful. If you got what you deserve, you go to hell, sure as the world. If I got what I deserved, I go to hell. And if I got what I deserved, I wouldn't be pastoring Gateway Baptist Church. If I got what I deserved, I wouldn't be preaching tonight. If I got what I deserved, I wouldn't be doing anything. I'd just be a mess somewhere out there in the world. But thank God for mercy and grace and the help he gave me. And even though that at that time I thought it was awful, I thought those folk were awful, but I found out, praise God, God can help anybody. And God can help them. And as I was merciful, God was merciful to me. And I say hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, it's that way. I like that song the Rochester sang, I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad it's that way. And you can sing that song at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was manifest from me, something to that effect. And anyway, it goes along that line. Well, laugh, Linda. It was something like that. Amen. At Calvary, I'm glad at Calvary. I'd just sing it if I could. But don't know the words. Amen. That's not the only reason I don't sing it, but that's part of it. But at Calvary, aren't you glad for Calvary? Great grace, mercy was great and grace was free. That's right. That's what a song says. I got that part right. I know I have because I worked on that a whole lot. Amen. The rest of it we'll get later, but that's right. I did get pardoned. I know that part's in there. I did get that. Amen. I know my soul got satisfied. I know that. I don't know if it says that or not, but I got it. Amen. I don't know what it says or not, but I'm going to heaven because of Calvary. I'm glad, praise God, for Calvary. Well, I meant to preach a few minutes tonight. Anyway, let's look at that third thing. Walk humbly with thy God. Walk humbly with thy God. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before a fall, haughty before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. But think about that. I'm glad that we can walk humbly with the Lord our God. I want to give you an example of that out of the Old Testament. Turn with me in 1 Samuel 18. Here was a woman had a real problem. Not the woman, but a man had a real problem. The women were singing. Chapter 18, 1 Samuel. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed 1,000, and what can he have more than the kingdom? Then verse 13, therefore Saul removed him from and made him this captain over 1,000. He went out and came in before the people. Verse 29, Saul was yet the more afraid of David. Saul became David's enemy continually. David wanted to be a friend to Saul. David was a great warrior. David could have been a great help to Saul. But Saul got jealous, and Saul got mad, and Saul got the place where he wasn't humble. God couldn't use him anymore, and the Spirit of God left him. But old David kept on just, David wouldn't touch God's anointing. When he had the opportunity to kill him in the cave, David wouldn't even, he cut a piece of his garment off, and it hurt him so bad, he cried after him and apologized for it. He said, I ought not touch God's anointing. What a thrilling story that is. Walk humbly with the Lord thy God. By the way, humbly is simply recognizing that we don't deserve anything. It's all the grace of God. And you can't walk with somebody if you're not walking the same direction they're walking. If you're going the wrong way, you can't walk with them. If you're not saved tonight, you can't walk with God because you're going a different direction. But if you'll come to Jesus and get saved, you can walk with God. Walk humbly for the Lord thy God. What does God require of thee? Do justly. Love mercy. And walk humbly for thy God. Just day by day, humble walking with God. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege that we have to open the Word of God. Think about doing justly. Lord, help us every day of our lives to do justly. Then help us, Lord, to have mercy on others. Father, you had mercy on us one day. Lord, our hearts want to have the joy. Then we'll have to love mercy for others. Then help us walk humbly with the Lord our God. Lord, in this house tonight, there may be those here that somehow the devil's got tripped up on something. They've been messed up somehow, some way. Lord, help them tonight. I pray you'd help every individual in the sound of our voice. Lord, and help me that I'll remember this verse of Scripture and that you help me. I pray tonight your will be accomplished in this invitation. Rebuke every hindering cause. Draw to yourself. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to stand, please.